two men entered a house church in Colossae, and some recognized them. Whispers started that they were from Rome and had news from the Apostle Paul. These men had traveled over 1,300 miles. They would have sailed from Rome's port, around the heel of Italy, east to Greece. They would have followed the Greek coastline to Corinth, Athens, Thessalonica. They would have no doubt have met the church in Thessalonica and then have sailed to Neapolis and the seaport of Philippi. They would have likely walked a short distance inland to deliver Paul's letters to the church there. The trip would have taken months to reach this assembly. All during their travels, one of the men was no doubt thinking, how can I face this assembly and their leader? This man looked very nervous as he stood before the assembly. Tychicus gave a rolled up papyrus scroll to the church leader for him to read to the assembly. The leader started reading it slowly so all could hear. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and all the congregation fell silent. You could hear a pin drop. The leader read wonderful, encouraging words of Paul, thanking God for them and praying for them with great theological truths about the preeminence of Christ, the church, being alive in Christ, putting on the new self, instructions for how the church, Christian households should live. And then he closes the letter with instructions to specific people in the church. The congregation was in awe of this message from Paul and would certainly hear it read many times and even commit it to memory. Then the nervous man, who did not seem as nervous now, stepped forward, and the leader recognized him and was obviously affected by the man's presence. The leader, Philemon, unrolls a single sheet of papyrus and reads it to himself before reading it to the assembly. Then he begins to read it slowly to the assembly, and the tension in the room grew as he read this letter that was also from Paul. This time, the letter starts out, and Paul calls himself a prisoner for Christ Jesus. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Philemon, the letter of Paul to Philemon, I will read it for us as we think about this wonderful topic of forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. It's a central theme of our faith. We need forgiveness, and we need to forgive. So let's look through this letter. Two things I want you to think, at least three things maybe, as we look at this letter. Number one, let's focus on Philemon and Onesimus, and then let's think about what we can learn about forgiveness from this letter. So if you're ready, we'll start. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer a bondservant, but much more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will graciously be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So in Colossians, we read that Tychicus and Onesimus traveled from Rome to bring the letter to the church of Colossae, a letter perhaps to the leader of the church, Philemon. So we read in Colossians 4:7-9, Tychicus will tell you how all about my activities. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. So we have the picture of Paul in prison in Rome, writing letters. He wrote Ephesians, he wrote Philippians, he wrote Colossians, and he wrote Philemon. And he's writing and he's sending these two letters, the Colossians and the Philemon letter, with Tychicus and Onesimus. And this is a wonderful, short, personal, and public letter from Paul to the leader of the church of Colossians, Philemon, about his runaway slave named Onesimus. Unlike the letter to the church of Colossae, it does not contain great doctrines or theology, but it has something that the church needed then and today. It is a real-life example of one of the major themes of our faith, forgiveness. How to apply this great doctrine and how to speak the truth in love in this situation with a fellow believer. In this case, the church leader had been wronged. Philemon was wronged. He was took advantage of. And the one who wronged him was now a beloved brother in Christ. He had come back to make things right. Will Philemon forgive Onesimus? So how important is forgiveness? How important is it to you? Forgiveness is, if we do not forgive, we end up bitter. So forgiveness is very important for us, and it's very important that we learn to forgive. So let's consider the portraits of these two men, Philemon and Onesimus, as painted by Paul. These two men needed reconciliation. They needed restoration. And they needed restitution. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." One commentator said, "You are never more like God than when you forgive your enemies." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Forgiveness is a magnificent, noble act, that the noblest of act that can be done on behalf of those who have done you evil. So we have this letter addressed to Philemon. Now he addresses it also to Apphia, probably his wife, to Archippus, likely his son, and to the church in their house. Philemon had a house big enough to support a church and was fairly wealthy. He had slaves. And so in this introduction to this letter, Paul wrote, how many letters did Paul write to the churches? 13 letters. In every letter except this one, he introduces himself as an apostle or a servant. In this letter, he introduces himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Why? Why did he say this to this letter? We'll try to cover that in a little bit. Notice what Paul also did not say. He didn't say he was a prisoner of Rome. He didn't say he was a prisoner by the Jewish leaders. He knew his incarceration was due to his relationship and his love for Jesus Christ. And do you think Paul had some forgiveness issues with the Romans, with the Jews that imprisoned him? So he had worked through forgiveness issues. And so he is writing to Philemon to work through some of these forgiveness issues and to forgive Onesimus. So why do you think Paul addressed this letter to the entire church that met in Philemon's house? Wasn't that a lot of pressure on Philemon? Not only to his wife, his son, but the entire church. Why did he do that? There may be several reasons. The ones that seem to be the most reasonable to me are this request for forgiveness is an example to the whole church. And also the accountability issue for Philemon. He would have to face the church because they all heard him read about needing to forgive Onesimus. I think one of the things we overlook in this letter, it is an example of how to speak the truth in love about a very tough issue, a very sensitive issue, a very difficult situation. It's also a very teachable moment in the church because there were likely other slaves and masters in the church who had issues, and so this was a time that he could teach about forgiveness and restitution. So what would be a comparable situation today? You say, well, that's slaves and masters. That doesn't apply to me today. What would be an example of a situation today? How about someone that's in prison and just comes to faith in Christ and he has to go back? Or just in rebellion and has to go back to face his family and those he's wronged now that he's a believer. And to make restitution. So it's a very common thing that happens, and we need to learn some of the concepts of forgiveness that we need to think about. So we're going to walk through these two men's lives through this letter. And I want to ask you, who do you identify with? Do you identify with Philemon or with Onesimus? These are the two stars that Paul is addressing here. So what do we learn from reading this letter about Philemon? Well, he owned slaves. He hosted a church, most likely in Colossae. His name means affectionate and loving. And he seems to have lived up to his name. Paul says he loved the saints there. Philemon had been led to faith by Paul, likely in Ephesus. And Paul likely stayed in Philemon's home before. As I mentioned, Apphia likely was Philemon's wife, and Archippus was his soldier. Archippus is mentioned again in Colossians about his ministry. And Philemon prayed for Paul. He prayed for his ministry. He prayed that it would be fruitful and beneficial. Philemon loved the church and its people. And Paul thinks he will do more than he asked him to do. So he will likely do that. And he had a guest room for Paul waiting for him. Paul says, make it ready. Now, let's look at the relationship between Paul and Philemon. And the book, you think I'm going to read the book again, but I'm not. But let's look at some of the verses here that talks about his relationship. The first verse, Paul calls Philemon beloved, agapeos, esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love. So from the very beginning, Paul loved Philemon. And then Paul, verse 4, says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Paul prayed and thanked God and prayed for Philemon. He loved Philemon. And then in verse 5, it says, because I hear of your love and of the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Paul loved Philemon because of his faith, because his faith was demonstrated in the love he had for the saints. So he loved Philemon. Verse 6, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Paul wanted Philemon's ministry to be effective. He understood that as Philemon learned forgiveness, he would understand every good thing that we have in Christ. Verse 7 says, for I have derived much joy and comfort from you, my brother. Paul had wonderful, joyful memories of Philemon. Do you have brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ? When you think of, brings a smile to you, that love you, that encourage you? We need to think about these. It's very easy for us to forget all the people that have helped us along the way, that have encouraged us. I had a dear brother when I first moved to Clemson 40 years ago. He and I got together and ran and exercised and memorized scripture. And every time I think of him now, it brings a smile to my face. I derive much joy and comfort from his love. Then I know there's been people in your life that have encouraged you, and you derive comfort from thinking of them. And you should encourage to speak to them about that. And in verse 7 it says, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. What a word, refreshed, isn't it? Philemon had the ability to refresh the hearts of the saints. And if you look at that word, it means cease from movement or labor, to recover, to collect your strength, to give rest, to keep quiet or calm or patient expectations. Some think it's a military term, meaning after a long march, they would rest. Some think it's an agricultural term, allowing the land to rest so that it could be restored and be productive. And we call it fallowing today, leaving it out of production so it can be revived and produce more in the future. Paul uses it twice in this book to describe Philemon. Once he talks about refreshing the hearts of his fellow believers there. And the second time Paul says, I want you to refresh my heart by forgiving Onesimus. The love of brothers and sisters in Christ can restore us and refresh us and serve the Lord more fully and more heartily. As we look at verses 8 and 9, it says, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. As an apostle, Paul could have commanded Philemon. Maybe that's one of the reasons he said, I'm a prisoner, I'm not an apostle. I'm asking you. For love's sake, I want to appeal to you for my brother. He preferred love to commanding. And Paul could be very bold, couldn't he? As we read in other letters as he wrote, he was very bold in the Corinthian letter and other letters, but he wasn't here. He wanted Philemon to make the decision, the right decision, to do what is required to forgive Onesimus. In verse 14, we see, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Paul loved him, but did not want to take advantage of Philemon. Do you have Christians? Do Christians take advantage of other believers? Do church leaders sometimes take advantage of their congregants? This is a great example of Paul not letting the goodness of Philemon. He loved Philemon and he knew Philemon had a good, kind heart. But he didn't want to pressure him to doing something. He could have written to Philemon and said, hey, you're a runaway slave. has become my dear brother. He's serving me in prison. But he didn't do that, did he? He sent him back. Verse 16, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul knew that Philemon would be delighted that Onesimus had come to the Lord and was glad to have him as a beloved brother. In verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Welcome him. That word is welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul considered Philemon a partner, a minister with him, a beloved co-worker, a fellow soldier. And so he said, if you consider me your partner, welcome him, receive him. And if he has wronged you in any way, verse 18, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul wanted to make things right with Philemon. Onesimus had nothing to pay back whatever he had stolen, but Paul wanted to make it right. Verse 19 says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Every time I read that statement, I just smile because Paul was so honest with Philemon. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you. Refresh my heart. Paul was confident enough in Philemon's love that he could ask for that. He wanted Philemon to refresh Paul's heart the way he had done the saints before, to do the right thing in forgiving Onesimus. Confident, verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul loved him because Philemon would do more than he asked. He was confident that Philemon would do what was necessary, what was required. In verse 22, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Paul loved Philemon. He was comfortable to ask for a guest room and prayers for his deliverance from prison. Paul dearly loved Philemon. Almost every verse expresses some form of Paul's love for Philemon. Do you identify with Philemon? Do you refresh the hearts of others? Paul says in verse 7, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. What a great commendation. I wish that would be some commendation for me. But has someone wronged you like Onesimus wronged Philemon? Do we need to forgive? If it comes to your mind, you need to forgive someone often, or it comes to your mind at all, you have to choose to forgive. And God will give you the grace to do that. Now, I did bait it on putting this next section in because it's controversial. It's about slavery and Christianity. And through the years, this letter to Philemon has been used by both sides, the slaveholders and the abolitionists. The slaveholder says, well, Paul didn't say to release Philemon, to Onesimus. And the abolitionist says, yes, that's what he intended to do. So bear with me and understand it's controversial and just think about it with me as we think through this. What historians say, there were about 60 million slaves at that time in Rome. It was an essential part of their economy. But the slaves were different. Some were highly educated, some were doctors, some were other professions. They were usually paid. It was more like an indebted servant. But they did all kinds of occupations. But we don't know Onesimus' arrangement with Philemon, do we? But you know, I read in an article online saying there are 50 million slaves today. And about a quarter of those are child slavery. So we haven't progressed much, have we, over the years? And so we are called, the scripture does not forbid slavery, does not abolish slavery. There's no direct statement to that effect. But it does call for righteous love as a part of God's people in every relationship, in no matter what it is, in marriage, in family, in slave and master. Paul exhorts slaves to obey their earthly master as they would Christ. In Ephesians, he says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ." And so we still have the controversy today. One modern, well-respected author and commentator says about slavery, if Christians had decided to tell slaves to revolt and leave their masters, nothing but disaster, massive disaster, would have happened. Any such revolt would have been savagely crushed, as the slave revolts were crushed in the Roman Empire. Christianity would have been branded as nothing more than some kind of revolutionary subversionary treason. Even if you were a slave, you were free in Christ. So this controversy continues today, because I'm going to read you the other side in a minute. So there are several verses, though, that indicate the equalness of us in Christ, whether slave or free. And so in Colossians, the book, companion book to Philemon, he says, Paul writes, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator." Here, our image, our renewal and the image of the Creator. Here, there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And so the other side, a modern day commentator, well respected, says about this letter to Philemon about Onesimus, the upshot of this letter, without explicitly prohibiting slavery, Paul is pointing the church away from slavery, because it is an institution which is incompatible with the way the gospel works in people's lives. Whether the slavery is economic, racial, sexual, mild, or brutal, Paul's way of dealing with Philemon works to undermine the institution across its various manifestations. To walk in step with the truth is to walk away from slavery. So the controversy still exists today, but we can learn from this letter about how Paul writes to Philemon to forgive, regardless of the slavery issue. I have a short commentary on Philemon, 120 some odd pages. A third of it is taken up by this issue of slavery. So I thought, well, at least I need to mention it and pass on. So let's focus now on Onesimus. What do we know about him? Well, he was a runaway slave. Likely took something very valuable to fund his trip to Rome. His name means useful, profitable, beneficial. Paul calls Onesimus our faithful and beloved brother in Colossians, just as he called Philemon a faithful and beloved brother. He became a brother in the Lord during Paul's imprisonment. It's amazing to me that Onesimus goes to Rome, a huge city at that time, over 100,000 people, and God finds him and brings him to Paul. Connects him to Paul, and Paul shares the gospel. Paul wanted Onesimus to stay with him. He had no money. Paul wrote for Philemon to charge Onesimus' debt to him. He willingly went back. This is something we kind of overlook at times. Onesimus willingly went back to face the consequences of his action. So did Paul love Onesimus? He calls him beloved, just the same as he did Philemon, calls him our faithful and beloved brother in Colossians. If we look at verse 10 there, he says, "I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." Paul loves Onesimus as a son loves a father. In verse 11, he says, "Formerly he was useless to you, but now indeed he is useful to you and to me." He calls Onesimus useful now. His name means useful. He has become useful because he now is a beloved brother. So Paul loves him for that. says in verse 12, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. So this is a very drastic statement, isn't it? Paul is saying he's like part of me. He's like my right arm. Very difficult decision to send him back to you, but I'm sending him back to you. And then verse 13 says, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment. Paul loved being with Onesimus. He was a great servant, a great help to Paul. He wanted to keep him with him. And then 16, he says, no longer a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul calls him his beloved brother, especially to me. He's special to Paul. And Paul had led, you know, thousands to the Lord, but Onesimus was special to him. And then verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. Welcome him as you would welcome me. And to welcome, the verse there is the word receive, is the word welcome, or interchangeable. They're similar. In Romans 15:7 says, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So Paul is saying, welcome him as you would me. I love him, and you treat him as you would treat me. In verse 18, he says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul will cover all his debts because of his love for Onesimus. So you have a letter here written. Paul dearly loves Philemon, all the things we looked at. He dearly loves Onesimus and all the things we looked at with there. And so he have a letter that Paul wrote to one brother he loved, about another brother he loved, to forgive him. He wanted the two to be reconciled. Onesimus had wronged Philemon by running away and probably taking something valuable. He has now returned a Christian brother, ready to face the consequences of his former actions. He had no money to repay Philemon. So which one do you identify with, Philemon or Onesimus? If we look at what Onesimus was, he was a slave, a runaway, a rebellion. God brought him to Paul. He was a faithful, beloved brother. He comes back to his masters. He has nothing to give to pay for his debt. Paul intercedes for him, takes his debt, and asks Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to welcome him as he would me. Onesimus needed a mediator, and Paul was his mediator. Paul was a picture of Jesus being our mediator. For the truth is that before Christ, we were all Onesimus. We were useless in the kingdom. We were rebellious thieves, runaway slaves to sin. We deserved punishment for our sin and feared returning home. We felt ashamed and worthless and unloved. God found us somehow, and if God is seeking you today, he's using his word to bring you to himself. God somehow found us in the city of humanity and brought us to faith in him. In step the substitute. In step one, willing to take for us all the punishment we deserved. The Son of God took on flesh and paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. He wiped the slate clean, clothed us with his righteousness, allowed us to return home, to return to the Master, the Father, without fear, with full acceptance. He welcomed us, covered us with the perfect work of Christ. Now, if you read the book of Philemon, you will think, Paul really did manipulate Philemon, didn't he? He pulled out all the stops. He read it to the church. He said, I'm an old man in prison. Do this. Did he really manipulate? And the word, I didn't know what manipulate exactly meant. I knew it was something not good, but I didn't know what exactly it meant. But manipulate is a form of lying. It's a type of lying when someone speaks falsely for the purpose of deception. Because to deceive is to manipulate someone into thinking or behaving in a certain way. So did Paul manipulate Philemon? Well, Paul wrote the truth to Philemon, so nothing was lies. And Paul appealed to Philemon in love, in Christ. He left it to the Lord to work in Philemon's heart, to do the right thing. He did not demand or command Philemon to forgive Onesimus. He surrendered the decision to Philemon as he surrendered Onesimus to Philemon. So Onesimus willingly came back, submitting to Philemon. And Paul did the same thing. He could have kept Onesimus with him and just wrote Philemon saying, Onesimus is serving me on your behalf. Paul would repay anything that Onesimus has taken from him. He wanted Philemon to refresh and give rest to Paul's heart, knowing that Jesus had worked in Philemon's heart to do the right thing, to forgive and love Onesimus. Paul was writing the truth in a very persuasive manner, as some commentators said, a pushy way, to understand about Paul's relationship with Onesimus. And I've thought about why did Paul write so persuasively, and one of my thoughts, right or wrong, is this persuasive letter may have been more for the church than for Philemon. Because there may be more issues in the slaves and the masters in the church in Colossae, and Paul wanted to nail it down really tightly. And so he wrote very strongly about forgiving Onesimus. And so what do we learn about forgiveness from this letter of Philemon? Well, one of the major things that comes to me, and it's clear in this letter, is forgiveness is a choice. Paul did not command Philemon to forgive Onesimus. He appealed to him to do the right thing. And as we look at our forgiveness and the forgiveness I've had to go through in the past, it's always a choice, isn't it? We choose to forgive. Onesimus chose to return to face the consequences of the wrong decision. So those who have been wronged and those who wrong have to make a choice. Onesimus chose to submit himself to his faithful God and to Paul and travel the 1,300 miles to be restored to fellowship with Philemon and continue as a slave if God required him to do that. The other thing, it is a choice, but really Paul gave him no other options. And for us, there is no other option. Paul didn't say, work it out. He didn't say, he said, do what's required. Jesus taught forgiveness, so you need to forgive. And Peter asked Jesus, how many times, should I forgive the brother who sins against me? As many as seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say seven times, but 77 times. So it is a choice we make. We don't have many options. And then how do we forgive? Repeatedly through Scripture says, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And how did the Lord forgive us? Well, God forgave us, making the promise that our sins would never be remembered again, that they would be covered, buried in the depths of the sea. That's the way we should forgive. You to forgive just as God in Christ has forgiven you, with complete forgiveness, when you bury the offense in the depths of the sea. You remove them as far as the east from the west. That's infinite. Where as much as humanly possible, forget all about it altogether, the offense. That's how we are to forgive. Jesus taught his disciples to forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. God graciously forgives us. Says in Ephesians 1:7, In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So in grace, we forgive, just as God has forgiven us. And God forgives us as we confess our sins, even the sin of unforgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul gave an example also of speaking the truth in love. And I think we all need this example of speaking the truth in love. We can speak the truth and we can love, but the key is speaking the truth in love. And so let's just look at a few things that Paul does in this letter to speak the truth in love. So he demonstrated his love as we walk through those verses in word, but also in deed. Paul offered to pay Onesimus' debt. He was respectful, appreciative, and gentle in his words. He was bold, but tactful and honest. He said, I'm sending him back, sending my very heart. I would have been wanting to keep him, but did not want to do anything without Philemon's consent. So he was honest that he wanted to be with him, but he was tactful. Paul appealed for love's sake. He didn't demand it. He didn't speak with manipulation. He was very persuasively truth-speaking. Paul exhorted Philemon to refresh his heart in Christ, to give rest and resolution. We should be mindful that we owe our life to Christ. And that's what Paul reminds subtly Philemon. You owe not to say nothing of you owing my very life to you. We're to be mindful that we owe our very life to Christ and should be willing to forgive others and resolve issues of love. So, are you an Onesimus before he met the Lord? A runaway, rebellious slave to sin? God is bringing you to himself. You have a great mediator, a savior, who is willing to forgive, and he's already paid the debt we owe. Come to him. I encourage you today, come to him. Do you need to forgive someone? Or is it constantly coming up in your mind how they wronged you? Consider this letter a blueprint to speak the truth in love and forgive whether they seek forgiveness or not. So I want to close with a challenge that we be people who refresh the hearts of saints, as Philemon was, by speaking the truth in love. So refresh hearts in Christ by forgiving others as Jesus forgave us. Let's pray. Father, we just stand in awe of your word, of how you want to forgive us, you do forgive us, and how you want us to forgive others. We pray that you will use your word and the Spirit to work in hearts to forgive, to forget, to forgive as Jesus forgave us. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your forgiveness, for we wouldn't be here without that forgiveness. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.